Turn to the book of Revelation, chapter 2. We are continuing our study on the Holy Spirit. Hang on here. Worked better if I had the right chapter. Revelation, chapter 2. Wondered what wasn't looking right, but I was at the end instead of the beginning. Revelation chapter 2. We're going to skip around in our Bibles. Keep your Bible out. You're going to need it tonight. Tonight, I've been waiting to teach this one. I'm excited about this. Many of you will have never heard this before in any shape, form, or fashion, but it's you'll see it's very plain in the Scripture. Look at Revelation chapter 2, verse number 7. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give eat of the tree of life in the midst of the paradise of God. Look at verse number 11, same chapter. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. Look at verse number 17. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna, will give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name written, which no man knoweth, saying, He that receiveth it. Look at verse number 29. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the church. Look at verse 6 of chapter 3. Chapter 3, verse number 6. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Look at verse number 13. Excuse me, choke myself. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. And then again, all the way down in verse number 22, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. And let's pray. Father, I need you tonight, Holy Spirit of God. I yield myself to you. Help us to yield as we listen. Please give us what we need. In Jesus' name, amen. There is much to be said, and much is said about preachers preaching with the power of the Holy Spirit. By the way, I believe the biggest problem in America is not what's happened in the White House, it's what's not happening in the church house. When preachers got spaghetti spines and wet noodles for backbones and quit preaching against sin and quit preaching against right, we let wrong take over. Are you doing okay? There was a day when preachers stood aloud, cried aloud, and spared not, didn't give a flip what anybody thought. They preached what the Word of God said. There was a day when the Nazarenes preached just like I do today. 1970, Brother Hiles used to preach at the Nazarene conventions. That's in my lifetime. Couldn't do that anymore. Can you imagine me preaching at a Nazarene convention? It wouldn't happen. It wouldn't. There's much said about teaching with the power of the Holy Spirit, preaching with the power of the Holy Spirit, speaking with the power of the Holy Spirit, singing with the power of the Holy Spirit. But may I say this, much should be said about it. I have here, right on my pulpit, a little brass plaque. My dad made this pulpit. Right here I have. I yield to the Holy Spirit. Every time I look down, I see that while I'm preaching, while I'm doing announcements. When somebody stands to sing, they see that. It's a reminder, if you're back here, you should be filled with the Spirit. We ought to be yielded to the Spirit. Now, it's wonderful that many of you pray for me, for God's power on my life, for the Holy Spirit. I'll take it. I beg Him for it regularly. But may I say this, that only puts the responsibility on the preacher or the speaker. What about your responsibility?
Yes, sir.
We see seven times in Revelation chapter 2, Revelation chapter 3, where the Bible says, He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches.
That's right.
In other words, we ought to listen in the power of the Holy Spirit.
Yes, sir.
Not just listen to a preacher who is filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. Everybody got that?
That's good.
There is such a doctrine, and it's probably too strong of a word, but a teaching in Scripture that, by the way, I'm for Spirit-filled preaching. I'm tired of this wet noodle preaching we got out there, or teaching. but how much better would it be if every Spirit-filled preacher had Spirit-filled listeners while he was preaching?
Amen.
Boy, what a difference that would make in America. Not much said is not much is said in the pulpits about listening in the Spirit. But seven times in two chapters, God says, "Now he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches." That's just in those places. God addresses the issue not just of the preacher being filled, but with the hearer being filled. It is just as much your responsibility to yield to the Spirit while someone's preaching or someone's teaching Sunday school or someone's singing a song or someone's playing a special. It is just as much your responsibility to yield to the Holy Spirit as it is mine.
That's good, preacher.
By the way, I won't be singing the special. And God's people said, amen. Wait a minute. It's kind of like a radio. A radio has two components. It has a transmitter at the radio station. But you have to have your radio on and you have to have the receiver on. The radio waves are going out whether you have your radio on or not. But unless you turn it on to the right station, you're not going to hear what's going on out there. God's got the transmitter going. Question is, turn your radio on and put it on the right channel. You see, if you're not careful, you'll hear the words that are said, but you're not tuned into them. You may hear what I say. There's a difference in hearing and listening. Oh, my kids used to get mad at me. Yes, I know you heard me, but are you listening to me? Just because you heard the words I said doesn't mean you understand what I said. Did you understand what I said? Because there are consequences. Yes, sir. Okay, we'll find out. See, if your receiver of the radio is off or on a different station, you're going to miss what Spirit-filled preaching is all about. I'm convinced it's not always the preacher's fault. A lot of people don't hear with a spiritual ear, and they get cross with the preacher because they only heard what they wanted to hear, not what the Spirit said. Everybody doing okay? All right, hang on. Don't take your, put your shoes on yet. Look in the Bible sometime, not right now, at the emphasis on hearing. In Revelation 2 and chapters 2 and chapter 3, seven times it is said, "Let he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit." Notice in all seven times it was a capital S. That's the Holy Spirit. In other words, we're to be listening to the Holy Spirit. Now watch this. The person in the seat is as obligated to listen to the Holy Spirit as the man of God who's standing behind the pulpit preaching. Don't get mad at me. When I listen to preaching, I ask the Holy Spirit to give me what I need. Was it last Monday, Dad, you and I went up to Frederick? Seemed like it was a month ago. But I think last Monday, my dad and I went up to Frederick to hear Brother Fugit preach. It was last week. The Heenies were sitting beside us, and before Brother Fugit got up, I didn't bow my head and close my eyes. I didn't raise my hand in front of the church and say, "Oh, God, a terrible." I didn't do it. I just said, "Lord, help me to hear what you have for me." And as he preached, I heard what the Spirit had to say to me. Matter of fact, I wrote two sermon ideas down, none of which he preached. Just made one statement, one word, or one line here. You see, what is that? It's called listening in the Spirit. Everybody doing okay? We have had people who have left this church saying they haven't been fed spiritually. I don't get mad at me for laughing, but I laughed. It's not that they didn't get fed. They didn't like the menu. It wasn't a buffet where they chose what they want. It's military chow. You put her out there, I'm flopping it on the plate, like it or lump it. Say, what is it? Don't matter. Just push it down the pie hole. It'll stick. Amen. You see, and by the way, usually it's the people that don't go soul winning. Usually it's the people that rebel at biblical standards. Usually it's the people that, and by the way, where is it in the Bible that it's my job necessarily to feed you? I thought only babies need fed. Sometimes you have to feed yourself. Sometimes you got to be able to put the food to your own mouth. Everybody doing okay? Now, I will feed you every time you come. I'll give you good doctrine. I'll give you what the Bible says. I'll put it in such a way where everybody understands it. As my preacher used to say, put the peanut butter on the bottom shelf where everybody can reach it. Amen? And I'm for that. But may I say this? If they would listen in the spirit, they wouldn't get a burr in their saddle and get all huffy and leave churches and get all upset and talk negative and talk bad and pull people away and get people out of church. Some of those people aren't even in church anymore, which is sad. Can I tell you why? They didn't listen in the spirit. They didn't listen in the spirit. Are they doing all right? Okay, hang on. How much more could we get if both the preacher and the hearer were in the spirit at the same time? How much more could God do with our church if we were that in tune? Not that you're in tune with me, but that you're in tune with He. See what I'm saying? My job's to be in tune there, to bring it back to you. But if the receiver's not on, if the radio's not on, or you're on the wrong station, guess what? Don't blame me for it. I'm just the messenger. Book of John, John the Baptist said, I'm a voice crying in the wilderness. That's all I am, is a voice. It is my job to be the voice of God, to be the voice of the Word of God, to preach to you, but it's your job to be the hearer of it. I want you all to learn to listen in the spirit, not just hear the words that I say. Let me give you three or four thoughts here and we'll be done. We're going to use our Bibles, so get ready. All right. Number one. Oh, this is going to be fun. You're going to get doctrinated the right way and it'll help you. In the book of Acts, hearing was one of the things the Holy Spirit helped with. Turn to Acts chapter 2. Hearing is one of the things that the Holy Spirit helped with. Now, everybody listen to me very carefully. As soon as you get to Acts chapter 2, let me see your God-given eyeballs so I know you're listening. There you go. All right. Baptists are not Protestants. Protestants came out of the Protestant Reformation of Martin Luther in 1525. I know it was close. We didn't protest the Catholic Church and leave the Catholic Church. That's what the word Protestant means. Baptists have been around since Jesus, when Jesus started the church. Jesus was baptized by John the
Baptist.
That wasn't his last name. Jesus said, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Catholic Church didn't start till 313 A.D., almost 300 years after the church started. By the way, the Catholic Church was started by Constantine, a political ruler. That's why the Vatican is a country, and it has embassy rights in every country of the world, because it's as much political as it is religious.
Right.
Just so you know. We are not Protestant.
That's right.
Okay? Say, who are the Protestants? That's your Lutherans, your Presbyterians, that's your Orthodox, that is your Nazarenes, that's your Pentecostals, your Church of God, United Methodists. All of your mainline denominations are what you would call Protestant. Now, I realize there's probably 75, 80 different kinds of Baptists out there, too. And some of them are as bad as the denominationals. Trust me. That's why we are independent, just the way Jesus did the church. Local, autonomous. We govern ourselves. We don't answer to a headquarters. We're not pooling our money together and putting bad things in other colleges down our people's throats. We are an individual body working together as a church. Now, Pentecost, Acts chapter 2. Look at verse number 6. I want to show you something. If you mark in your Bible, this is a good opportunity for you. We know that in Acts chapter 2, the Holy Spirit came and indwelt all believers, correct? Now, watch what happens. Look at verse 6. Now, when this was, well, look at verse 4. When they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now, watch this. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. Look at me. God gave them tongues to speak. The very next verse talks about people of every nation under heaven. So were those tongues a spiritual language?
No.
An unknown language, a heavenly language? No. It was the tongues of men. It was like the Spanish and the Portuguese and the French and the Italians and the Russians and the Indians and the Vietnamese, amen, all the different tongues, okay? Those were real languages. Now, look at verse number 6. Now, when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded that every man heard them speak in his own language. Everybody look at me for a second. I believe in some cases, some of the ones that were preaching knew other languages, but I think in according to this, and I'll show you another verse in Acts chapter 2, where it says that every man heard in his own language.
Yes,
I think the apostles got up and were preaching in Hebrew or Greek, and every man heard that man preaching, but heard it in his own dialect.
Yes, sir.
It wasn't people getting up and flipping and flopping on the floor saying, I got it, I got it, I got it. Mm-mm. It doesn't work that way. You say, you're making fun of somebody. No, I'm just telling you the truth. Look at verse number 7. They were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? And how hear we every man in our own tongue, wherein we were born? Folks, there were only 11 apostles preaching. They couldn't preach in every dialect. But the Bible says there was every nation under heaven present. And every man heard in his own language. All right? So, take your Bible, turn to Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 10. Look at verse number 44. Peter, who is also one of the apostles and probably the head apostle that preached on the back of the Ford pickup truck at Pentecost. Look at verse 44. While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which, what's the next word?
Heard
the word. And they were, of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then answered Peter. Now look at me. Notice that people heard so that they could understand the word of God.
Yes, sir.
The gift of tongues was not given to glorify the person speaking. The gift of tongues was given so that the word of God could be communicated so people could get saved. If people aren't getting saved, it's not the gift of tongues. Plain and simple. I'll show you that here in a moment. It was not a spooky language only God could understand. It's not saying all the motorcycles' names backwards. All right? God wants people to understand him and his word. And he gives us the Holy Spirit to help communicate it with people when they need it. There are times when I'm out soul winning. And somebody, I mean, they're looking at me like a calf looking at a new gate. And I'm thinking, okay, what doesn't matter what I'm about to say right now, it's... And I got to get God in on this thing. And I'm in under my breath saying, oh, God, help me. Holy Spirit, help me. And all of a sudden, I find something and there it is. Click. I'll watch it while I'm preaching. I'll say something and I can tell somebody's doing this. I'll give an illustration, and they go, God got them. God got him, or I hear this, oh, yeah. You know, like you do. God wants people to understand him and understand his word. Biblical Christianity is foreign to our sinful flesh.
Yes, sir.
Did you know to the lost man, the Bible is foolishness?
That's right.
Do you know that to the lost person, Christianity is foolishness? You see, living the Bible is contrary to living in the flesh. Living the Bible is contrary to culture. Don't get mad at me. That's why we're not bringing culture into the church. The church is supposed to set the pace with the Word of God, not culture.
That's right. That's good.
Root word of culture is cult. Ooh. See, we need the Holy Spirit to help us hear so that we understand. What's happened is churches have become religious. Religion is man trying to righteous his own righteousness.
Not
good. It's God. It's according to the book of Jude, that was gone in the way of Cain. Cain said, I'll give you the sacrifice of the field, but not a blood sacrifice. God said, I don't have respect unto that. I told you it requires a blood sacrifice. Cain says, if you don't like it, too bad. And in Jude, it says, thou hast gone in the way of Cain.
Yes, sir.
Say, what is that? That is man trying to show God how God must accept man.
Doesn't work.
My daddy's sitting over there. It didn't matter when I was a kid. If he said, take out the trash, if I took out the trash, but I dumped it all the way to the front curb, well, I took it out. You didn't say not to take it out of the can along the way. That's the way I want to do it. It wouldn't have mattered. It would have been back in the can, and my can would have been a little sore, too. The can would have been red instead of silver, amen? Mm-hmm. You see, we need the Holy Spirit to help us hear so that we understand. Sermons are not to be spoken over the intellect of everyone for it to be a good sermon. Folks, I can get up and use big fancy words, but 99% of the people in this room, you wouldn't know what those words are and don't give a rip. You go back a week or two ago and I preached a whole sermon on redemption. Guarantee you understand that one. Remember about the coupons? Mm-hmm. That was a doctrinal sermon on redemption. Have you ever talked to somebody that thought they were really smart? Y'all know what I mean? Did you ever talk to religious people that thought they were really spiritual? Oh, thou God of Jeroboam. You know, anybody that's got to make a three-syllable word out of God, God. Something's not right here. Okay? It's got three letters. It's not three syllables. It cracks me up. People try to impress you when they pray. Oh, our Heavenly Father, God of Jeroboam, Rehoboam, all the other Boam buddies. You know, Jehoshaphat and all the other fat fellas. And they go through all, you know, you're thinking, okay, this guy's really talking. And, ooh, it sounds real spiritual. It doesn't impress God. I had a staff man at the college that I went to and then where I worked, Brother Phil Sally. I used to love to hear Brother Sally pray. He'd get up in chapel. Dear Jesus. That little girl they just mentioned, if that was my little girl, I'd want somebody to pray for her. Now, Lord, would you help them? Lord, if that was your baby, what would you do? I'd hear him talk to God like that. He would just get up in front of 2,000 college students and pray just like that. Just him and God. That man taught me how to pray. Just talk to God. Just talk to him. You see, Jesus spoke in parables. He spoke so the common man could understand. Jesus used illustrations. He used stories. He even used humor. Jesus wasn't afraid to cut loose and come unscrewed every once in a while either. Last Sunday morning I left here. I was flying down. I didn't fly. I was doing the speed limit, but I was hurrying to get to meet somebody. I had an appointment after church. I had to meet somebody at 12:45. And I had to hurry a little bit, but I was keeping the speed limit. I got by that Catholic church down there on Queen Street. And all these people were walking across the street with palm fronds. And I had to laugh. I really did. I was kind of chuckling for more than one reason. But I thought, my first thought I had was, Mrs. Barnes, Bob Kellerman, I've joked about her office. We're going to paint Barney in there with palm leaves. I thought, man, I could get me some palm leaves real fast around here. I could use those right now. The other thing was, last year I mentioned this around this time of the year, Palm Sunday is hilarious to me. Palm Sunday is the Sunday that Jesus went into the temple, made a cat of nine tails, and whipped the place and turned the money changers' tables over and kicked them out of the temple. That's what happened on Palm Sunday. It wasn't everybody holding hands singing Kumbaya. It wasn't all warm and fuzzy. 4 days later, they crucified him. Now, Jesus spoke the common language. Jesus reached common people. You say, why? Because he didn't speak over them. The miracle of Pentecost is not that every language was spoken. It was that every language was heard.
Yes, sir.
And it was heard by the Holy Spirit of God indwelling people to get saved. Now watch this. It was not proof that the preacher was filled with the power. It's proof that the Holy Spirit had the power. It was proof that the listeners were letting the Holy Spirit affect them as well. I don't have time to go there because that's point one and I have 7 or 8 minutes left. But many times if you go through Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, Hosea, and through the Old Testament, the what we would call the prophets, many times you'll hear this statement or see this statement. The word of the Lord came unto me saying. It came unto me saying. In other words, you had to do what? You had to hear it.
Yes, sir.
How did they hear it? Holy men of God were moved as the Holy Spirit moved them. So they were hearing the Holy Spirit. They were listening in the Spirit. I've got to hurry. Number two, the modern tongues movement is not spiritual, and it's not by God, and it's possibly by the devil. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. This is the only chapter that they know. It's amazing to me. They build a whole doctrine and a whole religion off of one chapter of the Bible. That and Acts chapter 2. I don't have time to read all 40 verses. I wished I did. But watch this very carefully here. Speaking in tongues was for the lost to get saved. It was not proof that you were filled with the Holy Spirit. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Look at verse number 22. Wherefore, tongues are for a sign, not to them that believe, but to them that believe not. But prophesying serveth not for them that believe not, but for them which believe. Notice, tongues is not a sign for them which believe, but for those that believe not.
Right.
To get up and preach, and someone hears in their own language the Holy Spirit speaking to them the gospel, that is what it's all about. Everybody doing okay? Brother Stoltz is in heaven, but Brother Stoltz used to speak Spanish. They were impressed that an ugly old bold gringo could speak Spanish in any dialect. And literally, he could talk to a Venezuelan, and the next moment talk to a Puerto Rican, and the next minute talk to a Mexican, and the next minute talk to somebody from South America. And I mean, and he had no, the Holy Spirit gave him exactly the dialect needed. Nobody could believe it, even him. It would just come out that way. He understood enough Spanish, and God used it. He could talk to a whole group of people at one time, and they were from different countries, and he was communicating with them all, and they were all here. Joe, you've seen that time and time and time again. If there was such a thing as modern tongues, that was it. They were hearing in their dialect, in their language. And it wasn't for lifting up a person. It was so that the gospel could get out, so people could get saved. You see, tongues are not for a sign of spirituality of the speaker. It is for the gospel to get out so people can be saved. The modern tongues movement is a carnal, feel the spirit move, bodily moving experience. They're carnal. Everybody doing okay? Where are the people getting saved at their meetings? By the way, they scare away a lot of people. If you ever been to one of those churches, it's not real. But look at 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 33. God warns us of that. For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, and in all the churches of the saints. Verse 40, let all things be done decently and in order. Those places are confusing and not done decently and in order.
You're right.
Plain and simple. And I've got to hurry. I shot my wad earlier. I got to keep shooting here. Point number three, and one day we'll spend a whole Wednesday night on that, but not right now. Number three, the Holy Spirit can waken or open our ears. The Holy Spirit can waken or open our ears. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, look at verse number 9. Now, you ready? Here we go. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse number 9. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him, but God hath revealed them unto us by his
Spirit.
Look at me. So our hearing and our seeing is by the Spirit. Now watch this. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Bunch of psychiatrists and psychologists out there that think they know man's psyche. Can I tell you something? The Holy Spirit of God knows better than any psychologist.
Yes, sir.
Guarantee it. So much I want to say right there. Turn to Isaiah chapter 50. You ought to be glad that clock moved fast tonight. Isaiah chapter 50. Isaiah chapter 50. I'm going to look at two more verses and then give you just a couple thoughts. Conclude this thing and we'll go home. Isaiah chapter 50, verse number 4. The Lord God hath given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. Watch this. He wakeneth morning by morning. He wakeneth mine ear to hear as the learned. The Lord God hath opened mine ear, and I was not rebellious, neither turned away back. I gave my back to smiters, and I'm going to stop there. Look at me. The Bible says that he can open our ear to hear as the learned. There are a lot of people that think I'm ignorant, unlearned, and maybe educationally. I've got a doctor's degree. I've got a bachelor's degree. Been in the ministry 30 years. Been preaching for 38, almost 39 years. Some would say I'm not real intelligent. Wouldn't have a problem with that. I don't have a super IQ. Never got straight A's. I was an AB student, but I wasn't a straight A student ever. I got straight A's in lunch and recess. That was about it. Those were my two favorites. Now, wait a minute. The lost world is not only blind spiritually, but they're deaf spiritually. They think man's intellect is more important than the Word of God. Global warming. Oh, we're all going to burn up. Y'all remember back about 40 years ago? They were talking about going into an ice age. Remember that? Back in the 70s? Oh, yeah, we're fit for another ice age. That was back in the 70s. 40 years later, they're talking global warming. And then they talk evolution. Everything adapts. Everything decides of its own how to change, and they change. If they're so worried about us all burning up, how come evolution doesn't kick in and we can just change with it? Let's use their own logic with them. It's all scare tactics. By the way, their numbers are computer generated, and it's not even facts. Now, the lost world is not only blind spiritually, but they're deaf because the Holy Spirit is the one that opens our ears. We can ask the Holy Spirit to open our ears to hear what is being preached, to hear what is being taught in Sunday school. If you're in a counseling appointment with me or someday with one of our assistant pastors when we hire one, you can have the Holy Spirit open your ears to hear what is really being said. That's how it works. I have people that get mad at me because I gave them advice. They say they went out and did it. They did about 3 out of 5 things, and then they get mad at me because it didn't work out, but they didn't hear in the Spirit. Everybody doing okay? Remember, it takes both a spiritual transmitter and a spiritual receiver to make things most useful. The transmitter is going to transmit whether you receive it or not. Do you know there's radio waves going through this room right now? But if you don't have the receiver on, you can't hear them. Can I tell you something? The Holy Spirit's always there. Is your receiver listening for him? God knows that I want to be a Spirit-filled preacher. God knows that I would like to meet your needs. God knows hundreds of times a week I say, oh God, I need your power. Last thing I say before I ever walk through that door is, God, I need your power. Holy Spirit, help me. Last thing I do is, as you're turning in your scripture, I look at that sign and say, Holy Spirit, help me. Often while I'm preaching, I do the very same thing in my own mind. Holy Spirit, help me. If I see people struggling, I'm thinking, okay, Holy Spirit, help me. You say, what is that? I'm asking God to help me, but I need to know that you're doing the same thing by listening in the Spirit. It will make things a whole lot easier if we do it that way. Can I tell you something? A Spirit-filled preacher with Spirit-filled hearers can have God's church that can reach an awful lot of people. A lot of people can get saved. A lot of lives could be changed. I preach Saturday at a funeral. Only God knows what's going to show up at this one. But I've been in some pretty rough ones before and seen a whole lot of people get saved. I've had thousands of people get saved at funerals. I'm not kidding. Thousands. I've done hundreds of funerals. I've been in some, the first funeral I ever had to do, the people broke out in a fight. I mean fighting. I mean fisticuffs. I mean blood. I mean teeth popped out. Glasses knocked off and broken. I mean rough. The one brother got out of jail, and he was the one that caused all the fighting because the other family members were taking control of the funeral, and they let him out of jail because apparently he had power of attorney or something. So at the funeral home, they're all, literally, there's about 40 people over there duking it out. I left, went back to the church. We're in Southern California. We're in Long Beach, California. About 20 minutes later, I just got into the church and the phone rang. Pastor, this is the funeral director. They finally agreed. Get back here. Can you be back here to preach this funeral? Got in my car, turned around, went all the way back. I got there. They're still arguing. And the funeral director needed them to sign a piece of paper what they were going to do. He said, man, I've been at this 28 years. I have never seen anything like this. This is my first funeral. I'm 23 years old. I said, I've been at this a while. Wasn't a long while, but it was a while. We finally got him to sign things. And we were in the chapel. One side of the fight was over here. One side of the fight was over here. I'm not kidding. And the guy's pastor, and it happened to be a black fellow, it didn't matter to me. His pastor was there. I said, how about you come up and you can pray and say a few things? He said, that might help. I said, oh, it'll help me a lot. He got up and he did a few things and helped calm a little bit. I got up and I got to preaching. I talked about how I won William Shannon to the Lord. Talked about the day he got saved, what God did in his life, and how that he was in heaven, how he'd be ashamed of everybody in this room fighting and fussing and feuding over his funeral. And I mean, I just come unscrewed. I got one man in the whole place sitting right here going, yeah, man, yeah, man. I mean, he's just going, black fella, he's just going at it. I got so mad, I pounded on that casket and went, whoa. Everybody's going, I had everybody bow their head and close their eyes. I gave an invitation to see how many people wanted to get saved. Hands going up everywhere. I thought, that's too easy. I said, if you really mean business, get up out of your chair. You come kneel at this casket and show William how much you really meant it. There was like 42 people that got up and walked and was kneeling into that casket getting saved. I got done. That black preacher was walking with me. He said, hey, brother, can I get a copy of that outline? Amen. I said, here you go, brother. Don't tell anybody where you got it. I'm not kidding. He said, I'm preaching that Sunday. He said, you saw more people get saved at the funeral than I've had saved my church in the last 3 years. I said, I wanted to say, don't blame me for that, but I didn't. Can I tell you something? It's the Holy Spirit that can do that. Now, I don't suggest you do that, and I don't plan on doing it again. I didn't have any better sense, but it worked at the time. Amen? God takes our foolishness and works it out. Can I tell you something? How about we turn our receiver on and listen in the Spirit? Not just expect me to be in the Spirit. How about you be in the Spirit? And that's how spiritual preaching and spiritual receiving work together. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the church. Doth say he that hath a mouth, let him preach. Says he that hath an ear. So the responsibility is on the hearer as much as the preacher. Every head bowed, every eye closed, I'm done. Who'd say, preacher, there was something in that sermon tonight I needed. Would you raise your hand? Oh, my soul. Many, 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 many hands. You can put them down. Thank you. Who'd say, preacher, if I die tonight, I am 100% sure. I know for sure I'm going to heaven when I die. Would you raise your hand? God bless you. You can put your hands down. Is there one, and I won't embarrass you, won't call you out, wouldn't come to you, wouldn't embarrass you. Say, preacher, I don't know for sure, but I'd like to know for sure someday. Would you raise your hand? All right. In a moment, we'll stand to our feet. When we do, the piano will begin to play. And it begins to play. If you raised your hand, how about you come forward or kneel there at your chair? And how about you do business with God tonight?